julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt I tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
Forever Young with Peptide Bioregulators.
Hei dere, velkommen til oss. Vi Biohacking Girls, din podcast for optimal helse.
Vi to jenter bak rattet. Dette Monica.
Og dette Alette. Vi biohacking-kollegaer og legger sammen våre erfaringer og kunnskap for å inspirere deg til å ta fatt på biohacking for å optimalisere helsen din.
Vi følger med og setter forstørrelsesglass på trender og siste forskning og snakker med verdens toppeksperter innen trening, life coaching, helse og biohacking.
Du klar for å starte med konkrete hacks, lytte til din egen kropp og ta fatt på din helsemessige reise sammen med oss?
Vi ønsker naturlig tilnærming til helsen vår, og vi snakker til både menn og kvinner.
Du kan gjerne gi tilbakemeldinger til oss under podcasten her, og slå gjerne til med en god stjerne.
Du finner oss også på Instagram og Facebook. Du klar? Velkommen!
Eldes du raskere enn du kanskje burde eller ønsker? Det kan nemlig hende, for slik som vi lever I dag med så mye miljøfaktorer og så mye stress, så gjør det oss gamle før tiden.
Men det finnes kanskje en løsning på hvordan man kan redusere type inflammasjon som bidrar til å sinke aldringen vår.
I dag skal vi snakke om peptider. Vi skal dykke ned I peptidenes verden, nemlig bioregulatorer, som kan bidra til å regulere kroppens prosesser. Men her det viktig at vi ser forskjellen på disse syntetiske, som semaglutider og Ozempic, alle disse som nå veldig I vinden, det noe helt annet enn det vi skal snakke om I dag, disse bioregulatorene som ren mat.
Ja, for det de som syntetiske, som har snakket en del om tidligere på podcasten også, semaglutidene og type insulin også, det jo da laget kjemisk på laboratorium og skal godkjennes av FDA, mens de som bioregulatoriske, de laget av planter eller dyr. Så dette går inn under kategorien mat. Men stoffene vi finner I peptidene, de jobber jo uansett for å støtte kroppens naturlige balanse, altså homeostasen, og forbedre en rekke funksjoner I både vevorganer og I alle kroppens systemer kan disse jobbe for at du skal kunne ha det bedre og leve lengre.
Og det liker vi. Peptider altså korte kjeder av aminosyrer som virker direkte på cellene for å støtte regenerering og reparasjon. Og I de siste årene nå så har det tatt helt av I biohacking-miljøet når det kommer til peptider.
Og det jo fordi at mange nå ønsker å måle sin biologiske alder opp mot sin kronologiske alder og sjekke lengden på telomerene. Og da har jo peptider vært en av de tingene man har jobbet med. Og det vi ser at mange leger også som jobber med for eksempel bioidentiske hormoner I forbindelse med perimenopause og menopause, de ville også benytte seg av tilgjengelige peptider for å kunne kombinere disse godt, for de har en sånn synergetisk effekt for helsen og med antialdring og med regenerering. For det hormonene de opprettholder funksjonene som cellene har, mens peptidene de kan stimulere regenerering av vevene og organene.
Ja, peptider det virker å være fremtiden. Og nå venter vi spenning på hvordan dette vil se ut I Norge fremover. Det begrenset lovlig tilgjengelige peptider sånn som det ser ut nå, men vi håper jo og tror at det vil bli lettere og lettere å få tak I Norge også.
Altså ukens gjest ingen ringere enn selveste Dr. Bill Lawrence. Han superkjent for sitt arbeid innen aldringsforskning ved å bruke bioregulatorer, peptider, for å senke aldringen. Og han har jobbet I over 30 år med Human Longevity Research og interventioner for å optimalisere livslengden og helsen. Altså han opprinnelig advokat med en PhD I ernæring, og nå har vi fått han I tale, og det vi veldig stolte over, og han skal bare forklare oss alt han jobber med og kan om peptider. Så velkommen dere, her det bare å sette seg ned og finne frem notatblokken, for dette blir en superinteressant reise.
Velkommen til Biohacking Girls, din podcast for optimal helse.
Dear Dr. Bill Lawrence, welcome to our podcast. Peptides and bioregulated peptides is something we really would like to learn more about. So you are the voice for us now. Welcome to the studio online.
My pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. And like Monica said, we are really interested in peptides. But first of all, we have to explain to everyone what these peptides are, and you are the best to do that.
Well, thank you. Peptides have become quite the buzzword, at least in the United States and in most parts of Europe. I just came back from Indonesia, where the Indonesian government wants to establish Indonesia as a medical tourist destination. And I was surprised at the amount of knowledge that the scientists and the physicians had about peptides. But there is some confusion in that there is a large category of peptides that I group them together as synthetic peptides. They're usually chemical compositions. They're very effective for treating different medical conditions. People who talk about them have to be careful that they're not saying that they're curing various medical conditions and so forth, because the FDA will come down on them since they're not registered as drugs. Most of those are given as injections. Very few, I think the only oral one is the BPC-157. On the other hand, the peptides that I deal with, they're called peptide bioregulators. They come from Russia. Professor Vladimir Kavinson was the scientist and the physician who basically did the research some 40-some-odd years ago under the auspices of the Soviet Union military. And he basically worked on the basis of some science that Ivan Pavlov, the fellow that's known for classical conditioning with the animals and so forth, started basically researching human physiology, digestive, gastric uses, and things of that nature in the early 1900s. And Kavinson built on his work. People sometimes think that scientists just, you know, wake up with a light bulb on going off on the top of their head. It's just, of course, that isn't the way it works. You build on what other people have done, and that's what Kavinson did. So the topic that I'll be talking about is peptide bioregulators produced in Russia.
Great, because there's so many ways to upgrade your health, like with foods and workouts, and now these peptides. So what differ these kind of treatments to more natural lifestyle approaches to upgrade your health?
Yeah, what's really good and interesting about the peptide bioregulators is that they are 100% natural. They are extracts from animal organs. Usually it's from 12-month-old calves, but it can also be from pigs. And what they do is they extract the organs from these animals. They process them. We call it fractionating, reduce the organs down to small amino acid chains, usually 2, 3, 4 amino acid chains. And then they encapsulate them, and they can be given as injections in Russia, but primarily they're in capsule form. And because they are such small little amino acids, they are not impaired by the digestive system. They pass right through the cell membranes, including the blood-brain barrier. They pass through the digestive system, and they're what we call organ-specific. That is, there's actually 22 of these that we use in the clinical studies that I administer. And so the peptide that's taken, say, from the heart of a 12-month-old calf is processed. If a human being injectable or swallows the capsules, it goes to the heart of the human being. It doesn't go to the liver, doesn't go to the brain, etc. And so because there are 22 of these extracts, we call them, 100% natural, you can basically regenerate what we call, we reprogram at the cellular level, we rejuvenate tissue, and we regenerate organs very specifically. And so while we don't use the peptides specifically to treat medical conditions in the clinical studies that I administer, and we'll talk about those, my function basically or purpose is human longevity. But what's wonderful about them is if a person has a heart problem, a liver problem, a retina problem, etc., taking these peptide bioregulators will regenerate those the tissue and the related organs. And so they're very powerful for supporting health, you might say. That's the generic thing I would probably say rather than getting into the FDA issues and so forth.
But does that even go for plaque? There's no medicine to cure plaque in the arteries, but could you use peptides for that kind of cholesterol challenges?
No, not specifically. There are nutraceuticals that are very effective for actually pulling plaque out of the arterial system. I have used them in the research work that I do, and we can typically reduce plaque burden by about 50% using nutraceuticals, but not the peptides, okay? Where we do use the peptides in terms of heart health is that there is an artery peptide taken from the artery of a calf that will rebuild the structure of the arterial system. And of course, one of the problems is that as we age, and particularly with diets and stress and so forth, we do damage to the arterial system. And what people erroneously think, basically because of the pharmaceutical marketing, is that cholesterol is the cause of heart disease. Cholesterol is not the cause of heart disease. Cholesterol is basically a band-aid that shows up that basically goes in and it patches over the damage to the arterial system caused by inflammation. So the peptide that we use for the arterial is really very effective in repairing that arterial system. It will not reduce cholesterol per se, but cholesterol is truly not the cause of heart disease. And that's becoming widely known, not inside of conventional medicine, but certainly the alternative, functional, integrative doctors all know that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we have been talking about that a lot. But how long have peptides been in use in humans?
Started in the 1970s. What happened was that the Soviet Union military were sending out submarine crews on, you know, 3, 4, 5 month, assignments and so forth. And these young sailors and officers were coming back after being in a small submarine that was probably built in the 50s and 60s, very primitive nuclear protection in those days. And they were coming back with all sorts of medical issues, primarily thymus issues. Their immune systems were being destroyed. And so Soviet Union military knew that they couldn't have this occurring. There was also some concern that the United States and Britain were developing weapons, laser weapons that could be used on the battlefield to blind the military armies and so forth, also destroy hearing. And so the Soviet Union military got together a group of doctors and scientists, including Professor Cavinson, and said, you folks need to figure out how to fix this problem. And again, they went back to the work of Ivan Pavlov and determined that if they extracted these animal extracts, that they could repair, in this case, the thymus system quite readily. And so they started using them first for the military, then the cosmonauts, or what we call astronauts here in the United States. They use them on the Olympic team, the Russian Olympic teams and so forth. And then when the Soviet Union imploded in the late 1990s, Professor Cavinson and the other scientists who had been working as military physicians and scientists, they took the equipment and the patents they purchased from the Soviet Union and set up the institute in St. Petersburg to continue the research and to develop more and more of these peptides. And there is actually now, I think there's 52 different peptides, but of the oral ones that we use in the study, there's about 22. The bottom line is they've been around about coming up 50 years now.
Yeah.
And when did they start using for weight loss? Because that's more interesting for us to know now when the GLP-1 and the semaglutides that's been focused on lately. So people are starting to pay more attention to peptides with this.
Okay, but again, we're kind of shifting over to the synthetic peptides. There are some synthetic peptides, and of course, there's some drugs now that are for weight loss. There is not a peptide bioregulator that is useful for weight loss at all. Again, the peptide bioregulators are organ specific. So if you have a liver problem, a heart problem, a vision problem, for instance, with vision, at the St. Petersburg Institute, they have a vision clinic as well. And they routinely, if it's caught early enough, can stop the progression of retina diseases like retinitis pigmentosa, macular degeneration, glaucoma, and so forth. Very, very successful in doing so. But again, the peptides are organ specific, whereas a weight loss is in an entirely different category.
Yes. What happened after the 70s and what happened to the picture that we have today, even though it's not like bioregulator, but with the GLP-1 and the semaglutide?
Yeah. Of course, those are not bioregulators, though.
Okay? No.
Those are synthetic peptides. What happened was, when Professor Cavinson and the other scientists set up the St. Petersburg Institute, they were interested in using the peptides primarily to treat medical conditions. And the clinic is still there. It's been there now for 30 some odd years. Russian people initially could come in for treatment for various organ problems. So, for instance, if you have a disease that impacts an organ, you know, like elevated liver enzymes, kidney failure, and so forth, the peptides are very effective for restoring the function of that particular organ. If you, on the other hand, have lupus or Lyme disease and so forth, the peptides are not going to be helpful with that. They will be helpful with any damage done by that, but not to cure the disease itself. So for about 30 years, Professor Cavinson at the Institute and the medical clinic were treating Russians, and then eventually as the word spread, the scientists, doctors were treating people coming in from foreign countries, particularly for retina issues, because in the United States and pretty much the rest of the world, there is nothing that can be done for a person that has retina issues, particularly macular degeneration and so forth. On the other hand, as I mentioned, the Russians were treating it. So basically, it was a treatment model for such a long time. And then I showed up about almost 10 years ago at the clinic because I was able to read some of the clinical studies that had been translated by Google Translator. And I was starting to understand that these peptide bioregulators would be really helpful for extending human longevity, because they can activate what we call the telomerase enzyme, which has to do with cell replication. They can change the gene expression. And so that's what got me interested. And I basically went to Russia. You know, I sent them an email and said, I'd like to come visit you. And they were gracious and said, come on in. So over a couple of years, Professor Cavinson and I, we kind of shifted the emphasis from not only treating diseases, eye diseases, particularly kidney, liver, and so forth, Alzheimer's, etc. But we opened up sort of a longevity track, I guess you could say. And that's what I've been doing for the last 7-8 years, is administering a couple of clinical studies to significantly enhance people's longevity by lengthening their telomeres, changing the gene expression, and what we call cellular reprogramming.
Okay, because it's really interesting and important to emphasize that some people try to sell different peptides as weight loss strategies, like tesamorelin and CJC, and CJC 1295, I think. So we need to distinguish what these really are, so we don't mislead people.
Yes, those are what I put in the category as synthetics. Okay, and they're good. I mean, some of them are very effective peptides, but we don't, in the clinical studies that I administer and the work that the Russians are doing, we're not using any of those synthetic peptides. The Russians use them to basically restore organ functionality. And I use them in order to extend people's life by 15, 20, 25 years.
Skal vi lage sånn julegaveliste, eller?
Jeg tror nesten vi ferdig allerede. Bare i dag så har jeg ordnet Tante Gerd, Lise, pappa, svigmor, bestefar, kanskje til og med noe til deg.
Skulle ikke du bare henge med Fredrik og Louise i dag?
Jo.
Velkommen til julestemning hos Fredrik og Louisa. Med 25% på dyreste vare ved kjøp av to produkter. Vilkår gjelder. Fredrik og Louisa. Parfymeriet med de beste julegavene.
Julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Altid tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
So what have you seen in your studies when you talk about telomere and identifying biological age versus chronological age? What have you seen? What is most remarkable?
Maybe you can also tell your own story because it's really interesting how you have worked on yourself and your telomeres.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Two of the best biomarkers for I hesitate to use the word biological age because it's so broad. You really can't determine a biological age of a human. There's just too many components of it. But it's the word that's used oftentimes, biological age. But two of the most trackable biomarkers for biological age are telomeres, the end caps on our chromosomes. We all are alive because we have cell replication that goes on, you know, constantly in our life. And every time there's a cell replication, of which there is a kind of a limited number, it's typically between about 80 to 100 cell replications during a person's lifetime. And each time there's a cell replication, there's a little end cap on the end of the chromosome called a telomere. It's similar if you have sports shoes. And here in the U.S., we used to call them tennis shoes and so forth, and you have a lace on that shoe, and you have that little plastic aglet at the end of the lace so you can thread it through the little lace holes and so forth. That's similar to what a telomere is. It's the end cap on the chromosomes. And as long as that end cap is long and in place, then the cell replication that goes on all the time can take place and the cell will replicate and it will replicate completely, you know, functional and so forth. But as we age, every time there's a cell replication, we lose a little bit of that end cap. So an infant, we can measure with PCR, we can measure the length of these telomeres. So an infant will have about 10,000 to 12,000 what we call kilobytes, which is the measurement of these telomeres. In other words, long telomeres. And if you have long telomeres, you have wonderful cell replication and you have a lot less vulnerability to disease because your cells are functioning, you know, at 100%. As we age, though, every time there's a cell replication, we lose a little bit of that end cap, just like if you're lacing up your sports shoes all the time, eventually that little aglet, plastic aglet, is going to wear out, and then it becomes difficult to lace up the shoes. Well, same thing happens with the telomeres. They wear down, and by the time people get to be in their 60s and 70s, they've gone from 10 to 12,000 kilobytes of measurement down to maybe 6 or 7,000, and that's where we start to see fatality we see all sorts of medical issues starting to appear at that point, frailty, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and so forth. And so if you can slow down the loss of those telomeres, or even better yet, if you can rebuild the telomeres, then you start to get the cell replication that you had when we were teenagers and young people. So a couple of the peptides are really helpful for rebuilding the telomeres on the inner chromosomes, and we can measure all that. And so when I started the telomere study about 7-8 years ago, we would measure people's baseline with a lab here in the United States, SpectraCell Labs. We would measure their baseline telomeres, and for most people, particularly in the U.S., they were 5 to 10 years older telomere-wise than their chronological age. So we would put them on a protocol of peptides, the peptides that I know that will rebuild or regrow, you could say. The fancy word is activate the telomerase enzyme, but basically rebuild the end of those telomeres and make them long again. So 7-8 years, well, no, longer than that. 2012 was my first telomere test. And I was 66 or something like that at the time. And my telomeres were that of a 72-year-old. In other words, my telomeres, I was experiencing telomere accelerated loss. And we know that stress is a big driver for telomere loss and so forth. So then a couple of years later, I retested. This is before I knew about peptides. And I was maybe 2 years older, but now my telomeres were even shortened further at this point. And then the research took me to Russia, and I started using some peptides that would be appropriate for restoring telomeres. And over the years, my telomeres have gotten longer and longer. My last test about a year ago at 77 at that point, my telomeres are equivalent to a 23-year-old.
Fantastic.
Whoa. That's
But it's not just me. We have about 150 people, mostly health physicians, doctors, and so forth, that are in the clinical studies. And as I say, I was just in Indonesia last week presenting some of the data that we have. And I think we had data on 124 people. The average telomere gain, I think, was almost 22 years. So if a person, let's say, age, say, 60, typically they'll have a telomere age 4 or 5 years more than that. After a couple of years on the protocol for the peptides, their telomeres would be that of a 35-year-old. And virtually everybody gets to somewhere around that point where we get them 20 to 30 years younger telomere-wise than their chronological age.
But would you say that you lived a quite healthy life at that time before you started using this bioregulator?
I would say so. You know, I was watching my diet, taking supplements, exercising, and so forth. But none of that affects one's telomere. My telomeres were 5-6 years older than my chronological age when I started. So the telomeres is a biomarker for looking at biological age. And what we've shown in the clinical study for the telomeres over the last 7 years is that we can reduce people's biological age based on telomeres by about 20 to 30 years. So then what we did, just before COVID started, it became possible to do what we call epigenetic testing. And I'll explain that in a moment. But basically what we can do at that time is we can develop a biological age biomarker based on genes that are related to longevity. So there are certain genes that humans have in our cells that are associated with faster aging, slower aging, etc. And scientists have been able to identify those genes. And so we started a clinical study to see if the peptides could change the gene expression on genes related to aging. And indeed, they do. They have. So we have two biomarkers that show that we can slow down the aging process and extend human life pretty significantly. As I say, I'm 78 now. I expect to be easily reach 110 unless I have an accident or something along the way.
That meaning you were not in super centenario, but you became that because of the peptides?
Well, I'm not there yet. I'm on my way.
Of course, but your calculations and your...
I mean, for 78, you know, I'm really healthy. I don't notice any difference between today and when I was in my 40s. You know, I have my work day is 9 in the morning till midnight, Monday through Thursday. I'm a ballroom dancer with my partner. We dance 3 nights a week. I have all the energy in the world. And I think it's because my biological age, it gets tricky here because there are different ways of measuring biological age. Okay. But my biological age combined between gene expression and telomeres is probably that of about I would say 35 to 40 year old. I never get sick, haven't been sick, a cold, flu, anything else in probably 25 years.
But what makes these peptides so uniquely for longevity? What's the mechanism here? And do you have to go on them forever?
That's what's really interesting about them. If we go back in time, more than 100 years ago, before the pharmaceutical industry kind of sprung up, medicine was based on two things, based on plants and animals. That's where medicine came from. And that quote, call it medicine, for 10,000 years, maybe 50, 100,000 years, was based on plants and animals, okay? But then when Rockefellers and other capitalists in the early 1900s discovered oil and so forth and had these petroleum products, they were looking to be able to expand into other fields. And they began kind of working in the world of chemistry and so forth. And what they were doing was taking food-based, mostly plant-based drugs. Well, they weren't drugs at that point, but plant-based products. And what they were doing was changing on a gene level, just changing a couple of molecules of that plant that had been used, let's say people had been using it for years for arthritis. They changed the genetic status of that just a little bit because then they could get a patent on it. You can't get a patent on a plant, but if you change the molecular structure a little bit, you can get a patent and own it. And so that's sort of how the pharmaceutical industry came about. And what they did was they went around to the medical schools at that time. We're talking about 120 years ago. And induced them to stop using the animal and the plant medicines, okay, and to give up things like homeopathic medicine, chiropractic, and so forth, and basically regroup and redefine how hospitals work and how medicine was practiced based on a lot of pharmaceutical drugs and things like surgery that came along. And so the plant-based and the animal-based products kind of disappeared. But even today, people in the United States who have thyroid problems, they will use an animal-based thyroid medication. Here in the United States, it's called Armour, is probably the most popular brand, and so forth. It's an extract from the thyroid of a pig. Okay, it's been used for hundreds of years. It's a major product that's sold and it is a prescription item here in the U.S. So there are a few of these animal-based products that still exist. So what Cavinson did was he went back to, you might say, this sort of traditional medical intervention. Let's use animal extracts. And if we put animal extracts into a human being, it will reprogram what we call reprogramming the cell. It will rejuvenate tissue, it will rebuild an organ. And so the larger concept is we eat protein from animals to be healthy. You know, and of course, I know the vegetarians, you know, avoid the protein and they get their protein from other sources. But a primary source of protein is going to come from an animal. Well, if you take these very small little molecules and put them in a human being, transfer them from an animal to a human being, you actually then are supporting the various organs. And that's sort of the background of how all this stuff works. And we see it with the doctors in the clinical studies. We don't use the peptides to treat medical conditions per se, but the doctors do. So they'll have a person, let's say, in kidney failure. They'll use the kidney peptide for 6 months or a year, and they'll see dramatic improvement. There's one doctor here that was able to get his patient off of dialysis using the kidney peptides. You never get anyone off of dialysis. It's unheard of in the conventional medical world. So you're basically going back 100,000 years to the basic of medicine, which is animals and plants.
Vi ønsker å bruke kvalitetsprodukter som kan trenge dypere inn I vev og gi direkte effekt.
The Solution fra Oslo Skin Lab et kollagenprodukt med høy kvalitet med flere kliniske studier bak seg.
Og som biohackere vi alltid på jakt etter måter å optimalisere kroppen vår på, både på innsiden og utsiden. Og kollagenpulveret The Solution virker fra innsiden og inneholder hydrolysert kollagen som støtter kroppens egen produksjon.
Regelmessig bruk av The Solution kan redusere rynker, forbedre hudens elastitet og styrke hudens struktur. Og det aller beste, det fungerer ikke bare på huden I ansiktet, men på hele kroppen, også på hår og negler.
Pulveret uten smak og kommer I engangsposer og lett integrert I dine daglige rutiner, og du kan blande det I varme eller kalde drikker, yoghurt eller mat, og det gjør det veldig praktisk å bruke, og huden din vil garantert merke forskjell.
Hvorfor kollagen? Jo, når vi blir eldre, begynner kroppens naturlige kollagenproduksjon å avta, noe som fører til slappere hud og rynker. Med The Solution har vi selv testet både hudens tilstand og blodmarkører og målt effekten etter både 3 og 6 måneder.
Kroppen får det lille ekstra den trenger for å holde huden spennstig og strålende og fremme naturlig aldringsprosess. Vårt lille biohack å kombinere kollagenet med vitamin C og zink, og slik maksimeres kollagensyntesen og gir en enda kraftigere effekt.
Kollagen veldig populært I vårt miljø, og for oss det viktig med ansvarlig produksjon for å minske belastningen på miljøet. Vi bryr oss om jordhelsen vår like mye som vår egen.
Ønsker du å styrke hud, hår og negler, The Solution fra Oslo Skin Lab et praktisk og godt tilskudd som enkelt å bruke I din daglige biohacking-rutine. I november har Oslo Skin Lab gitt oss et rått tilbud til alle som lytter. Du får nå 70% rabatt på ditt første kjøp med koden BIOHACKING70.
Så sjekk ut osloskinlab.no og link I shownotes her under.
So who provides these bioregulators? It's not available everywhere, not Norway. Where can people try to benefit from these?
They originated, of course, you know, with Russia. What the Kavinson and the Institute were doing was they contracted with a Denmark company that was actually raising the cattle, extracting the organs, processing the organs and so forth, and then encapsulating. And then they were shipping that material to St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg was packaging it up and so forth and distributing it mostly in Russia for a long time. And then I guess pretty much when I came along, they started expanding that a little bit. And you can get bioregulators. You can order them from a company called Profound Health, or also known as IAS, International Aging Systems in London. They carry them. And if you're getting them out of London, then there's no restriction. Right now, we can't get them directly from Russia. For 7-8 years, I've been able to get them from Russia. But because of the Ukraine war and the sanctions, we can't get them directly from Russia, but they can come through London and you can place an order. You can set up an account with IAS and order them directly.
So what would you suggest people to start investigating and what kind of tests should they do first?
Well, it depends on what their goal is. If their goal is longevity, then they're going to want to get a telomere test, and they're going to want to get what we call a DNA methylation or epigenetic test in order to establish their baseline biological age. And that's what we do in the clinical studies. On the other hand, most people are not going to be interested in so much that. They want to basically treat a medical issue that they're having. They want to be healthy. They want to have organs that function and don't fail. And so what they would do is just start buying the appropriate peptides from IAS, for instance. So let's say you're diagnosed with, your doctor does some lab tests and he or she advises you that you've got some elevated liver enzymes, we call them, okay, or kidney enzymes, or you're diabetic, or you have pancreas issues and so forth. Then you would buy a couple of different peptides. Usually there are 2 or 3 complexes that we suggest taking together. Almost always the arterial peptide is needed. But let's say you have a liver problem. You would take the liver peptide, came from a liver of a 12-month-old cow. You would take the arterial peptide because everything is passing through the arterial system. And you would probably add the thymus peptide for the immune system. Those three would be the ones that you would typically use. And most of the time to treat a medical issue, you would be looking at about three different peptides, three of the 22 that are available.
And the longevity package, what would that be?
That would be all of the different peptides. What we do for the longevity, because the longevity is based on enhancing all of your major organs, you know, the pineal gland, the thymus gland, the liver, the pancreas, the brain, and so forth. All the major organs need to be, you know, particularly, say someone over the age of, I'd say around 45 or so, you know, you've got a fair amount of wear and tear on your body and on those organs at that point. Certainly by the time you're in your 60s, you've got a fair amount of wear and tear. So what you want to do, it's sort of like, sometimes I'll say it's like taking your car into a mechanic. You've driven this car for, you know, say 100,000 kilometers and you love the car and you don't want to trade it in on a new one. And so you take it to a mechanic and you say to the mechanic, I want you to fix everything on this car so I can drive it another 50,000 kilometers. Okay. Well, that's in a sense what we're doing with the body. We're taking the body in, but not to a doctor, and saying, we've got all these peptides for, you know, 21 different peptides for different parts of the body. So let's take them all over a period of a couple of years. And in the clinical studies that I run, I would say the average person is taking probably four or five different peptides every month. And we rotate over a 12-month period of time through all of those peptides. And in the clinical studies, we ask people to sign up for about 3 years, because we find that within 3 years' time, we can change people's biological age. We can reduce it by 25 or 30 years. And we can typically also address various health issues that they may have to start with. Now, the nice thing is that unlike pharmaceutical drugs, you don't take these peptides forever. And you actually even take them for a very limited time. The normal dosage for the peptide bioregulators is 2 capsules a day for 10 days each month. So you're on the capsules for 10 days at 2 capsules a day standard, and then you're off for 20 days out of the month. Unlike pharmaceuticals, where you're going to basically take something every day and you're going to probably take it for years and years. And the length of time for most of these people is maybe 2 to 3 years. And then you're done for 5 or 6 years. Professor Cavinson did these published clinical studies in the 90s and so forth, where he was able to reduce the all-cause mortality, in other words, the death rate, by 2/3. So, I mean, there's nothing out there in the world that's going to reduce mortality by 2/3. And the studies were like 9-year studies, 12-year studies, 6-year studies. But he only used the people in the studies, say the 12-year one, they were only on the peptides for the first 3 years. Then they were off the peptide for 9 years, and that's when the assessment was made of the mortality statistics at that point. So it's a 2 or 3 year program, just 10 days or so out of each month, rotating through all the 21 or 22 peptides.
So you kind of upgrade your body, and then you can quit and the upgrade will stay there, and then you can wait a couple of years.
Yes. Yeah. And what we do is we ask people to voluntarily stay in our clinical studies. As I say, there's about 150 people now in the clinical studies for 3 years. And then at the end of the 3 years, you know, we're testing them every year and so forth. And we now actually, if it's interesting, as of about 4 months ago, we now have the ability to determine a biological age of various organs. So not only the human being, you know, what we call systemically the human being, but then a couple of years ago, we could break it down and we could have a biological age for the human. And we could also determine the biological age of their immune system. And then 6 months or so ago, in conjunction with Yale and Harvard universities, we've advanced it to where there are 11 major organs where we can determine the biological of each of these organs. And so I can, with a test panel that I use, I can determine a person's biological age of their heart, their brain, their liver, their kidney, and 4 or 5 other things. And so I create a spreadsheet laying out their biological age for the total organism, the immune system, and then these 11 organs. The benefit of that is that when I'm preparing the protocol for the longevity, I can see, well, their kidney seems to be having an accelerated aging process, or their brain, or their retinas, and so forth. And so I build a few more peptides into that program over the course of the year. But at the end of year about three, we basically say, okay, we're done. We've gotten really, and we set goals for people with the clinical studies. So a person, let's say, of 65, the telomere goal would be 35, between 35 and 40, which we achieve in 3 years. The epigenetic is a sort of different kind of a goal. It's a percentage of reduced mortality, like Cavinson's studies. And what we do is we get people's mortality rate down to 50% compared to their peers. In other words, they have a 50% reduced mortality compared to their same age peers at the end of 3 years. And then the idea was to say, okay, well, thanks, goodbye. Come back in 5 years and see me, and we'll retest you. The problem is nobody wants to leave. And so what we do is we have a small little maintenance program of maybe two peptides a month rotating through. I think in all these years now, I think we only had one person who actually stepped away for a number of years. Everybody else says, no, I want to stay on some kind of a minimum program. So, and they're not very expensive. The peptides are, someone's taking, let's say, five different peptides a month for the first year. I would say $300 a month total. Yeah. Maybe a little bit more, you know, in Sweden, Norway, and so forth, depending on, you know, taxes and all that kind of stuff, value-added taxes, etc.
Of course. How does the FDA work with your aspirations for the future of the bioregulators? Are you
they,
in tune?
They don't really work with us. They leave us alone for two reasons. One is that we're a clinical study. And so if you're a clinical study, you have freedom a lot more than you would otherwise. And secondly, the peptides that we use are food supplements. They're classified as food supplements because they come from the animals and so forth. So they're not drugs. Where we've run into a little bit of a problem is because of the Ukraine war. Since they're coming out of Russia, we had to figure out a different way of bringing them in. But it wasn't an FDA problem. It was a U.S. government sanction problems because of the war.
So when we talk about FDA allowed peptides, these are the synthetic ones.
That's where you have the problem with the FDA. Last summer, well, no, not last summer, but 15 months ago, the FDA listed, there's at least 50 very popular synthetic peptides, okay? And a year ago, summer, the FDA put out a list to the compounding pharmacies that were making these synthetics. I think they had 13 different synthetic peptides that they told the compounding pharmacies they could no longer compound and sell. So what people have been doing is buying them from China instead. But that's the synthetics as such. With the peptide bioregulators, they really can't do anything about them because they're food supplements. They're just like taking a vitamin.
Oi.
Hva skjer?
Vi har blitt invitert i juleselskap til Fredrik og Louisa.
Når da?
Åpen dør hele desember.
De bare bjuder på det.
Mm. Det julestemning det.
Det julestemning det.
Velkommen til julestemning hos Fredrik og Louisa med 25% på dyreste vare ved kjøp av to produkter. Vilkår gjelder. Fredrik og Louisa, parfymeriet med de beste julegavene.
Julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribbe fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Altid tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
So is there a lot of challenges or problems by the use of these synthetical? Have you seen some studies on that?
Are we talking about the synthetics or the bioregulators?
No, I'm talking about the synthetics. Do you see like problems taking these?
I'm not really the one to ask about that because I don't deal with them at all. I just, you know, occasionally read the literature and so forth. We're very careful not to get involved with the synthetics because we knew for years, we've known that the pharmaceutical industry, who basically owns, unfortunately, the FDA, we consider the FDA to be a wholly owned subsidiary, is what we call it, of the pharmaceutical industry because they're just too close together. Anyway, we've known for years that they were going to go after the synthetic peptides because they're very effective for treating various diseases, and they've really gotten to be very popular here in the United States. So that's why the FDA put out that list of about a dozen that the compounding pharmacies can't make anymore. but then they just buy them from China. But we stay away from that with the peptide bioregulators because we don't want to get caught up with that whole thing with the FDA.
So a much more interesting question would be to ask if there's any physiological or consequences of using the bioregulators.
None whatsoever, because what we're talking about is food. I was speaking actually in Sweden about 5 or 6 years ago, as I recall. Professor Cavinson and I were there and in Stockholm. And I was talking to the scientists and the doctors at the conference and so forth. And one doctor put his hand up and he says, well, aren't you talking about nanosteaks? And I said, nanosteaks? Yes, I guess they are. They're just 2 or 3 amino acids. They come from an animal. So yeah, they're just tiny little steaks. So there are no side effects.
That's a good one. No side Zero. Effects. Yeah. Perfect. But you have to talk a little bit more about your studies, what you see and what you find, because this is all it's so amazing, the results you get. So we have to really get into that.
Okay.
And if there is any, yeah.
Okay. The study's goal is to repair, you might say repair human organisms and reverse their biological age to something that when they were much younger, okay? And that's why we say someone who is, say, 60 years old, our goal is to have them have the biomarkers of a 35-year-old. And we're very successful at that. Not everybody gets right to 35, but they get within a few years of that. Because if we reset a person's biological age, or at least these biomarkers, to someone in their 35 and 40s, barring an accident, barring, you know, cancer or something else that comes along, they should be able to live, even if they're 60 years old, they should probably be able to live 30 or 40 more years at that point, because we've changed their biological base at that point by reducing it by 30 or 40 years. Now, at the same time, when I'm building what we call a protocol, when I get the lab tests that come in initially for their baseline, telomeres and epigenetics, I use that data, and now I use the data on the individual organs that I mentioned that we now can work with. I create a spreadsheet for the next 12 months, but we also ask them, do you have any medical issues? Now, we can do this easily because almost everybody is a physician, because a couple of years ago, we restricted admission with a few exceptions. We restricted the admission into the clinical studies to chiropractors, physicians, naturopaths, etc. So I'll ask them on the intake form, do you have any health issues? And they'll say, yeah, I've got some elevated liver enzymes, or I've got some family history of cancer or whatever. And so I take that information and I build it into the protocol as well. And then we put them on the protocol. And then we retest every 12 months using the biomarkers. And then I adjust the protocol for the next 12 months. And maybe one of their health conditions has gotten better. Maybe something new has popped up. And so I adjust the protocol every year for them. And then, as I said earlier, by about year 3 or so, you know, we've met our goals. We've reduced their biological age pretty significantly, and along the way, helped them with medical issues.
But is the only thing that they change in this protocol is the peptides? They don't do anything about lifestyle, other supplements. How about stress, things like that? Nothing changes?
No, I don't do anything other than the peptides, because that would require an incredible amount of time to try and track everybody's individual situation. And so the only thing that they're doing at this point is adding peptides to their program. That's it. Nothing more. I mean, they're probably doing other things, but the only thing they're doing with me is the peptides.
How soon can you start feeling a change when you start the protocol? Does it take months?
Months, or? Yes. Because what we're doing is at the genetic level, okay, and at the telomere level, we're changing things in the body. And so the doctors get this. This is one of the reasons why we restricted it to health professionals. These are not like antibiotics, you know, where in 2 weeks' time you're going to notice some improvement and so forth. This takes, I would say, about a year to see measurable results. That's why we retest every year. What I do notice from the feedback from the doctors, if they or their patients, if they put them on, say, thyroid peptide, what I've seen is from the labs, that because they share the labs oftentimes with me, I would say 5-6 months, we start seeing an improvement in thyroid function based on labs. Liver, kidney, 8, 9, 10 months, depending on how far, you know, how far the problem has progressed. Things like there's a cartilage peptide that takes forever, 2 years before we see anything. There's a brain peptide, and that one is really slow and very hard to measure as well. That one requires 2 to 3 years before we start seeing kind of measurable based on tests and based on people's subjective. So it's a multi-year process.
Amazing. When women hit a certain age, when you get into the perimenopause, and would this be a good time also to approach PEP and bioregulators?
Yes, because there's an ovary peptide that is really, really helpful with menopause.
How does that work?
I don't know. I'm not a woman. It basically restores ovary function. That's about all I know about it, because I don't use it very much. A few of the doctors use it for their patients.
But meaning that you prolong the estrogen production? Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good combination when you hit these years to include peptides.
Yeah. And there's a testosterone or testes, actually a peptide as well, that men will use. We don't use as many of those. Because again, my focus is on the longevity aspects of this. I want to create a situation where we see a 30, 40 year reduction in their biological age biomarkers. That's really the goal.
So what is the idealistic group of people that you would like to work with? What ages are they? Men, women, diseases, no diseases?
Yeah, when should you start this therapy? How young?
The youngest person, and until a couple of years ago, we were kind of thinking, Cavins and I were thinking sort of like 45, 50 years of age. And then, and if you remember some of the PowerPoints, the Olympic skiing lady, Tora Bright, came to her Olympic doctor. This is going back probably 4 years. Her Olympic doctor did a telomere test. I guess they do on these athletes. You know, they probably test everything for the Olympic athletes. And she was 31 at that time, had been skiing since she was like 5 or 6 years of competing, 5 or 6 years old, and had won in the prior Olympics, had won the gold and the silver in her category of skiing. But her telomeres at age 31 were equivalent to a 56-year-old woman. And the reason for that is we know more than anything else, we know that stress is the key driver for accelerated telomere loss. Elizabeth Blackburn, who received the Nobel with two other people in 2009 for her work with telomeres, has done extensive studies and has figured out that stress is the primary driver of accelerated telomere loss. In fact, what they discovered was doing questionnaires and so forth. She's a professor at UC San Francisco. What they discovered was that if a pregnant woman has a difficult pregnancy, if there are financial issues, if there are relationship issues, a divorce takes place, a loss of a loved one, parents and so forth, economic issues and so forth, that newborn will be actually born with shorter telomeres than a child not going through all the pregnancy, not going through all that. And typically by about what we call 10 to 15,000 kilobytes, which is really huge. Then she did more research over the years, and she discovered it isn't just the sheer stress. It's how people respond to the stress. And so with questionnaires and so forth, she and her team of graduate students went out and they created a questionnaire to assess how people handle stress. What they discovered was that the pregnant women who handled the stress well, just kind of plowed through it, okay, they gave birth to normal children with normal telomeres. Those who were depressed, had difficulty with the stress, were the ones that were giving birth to the ones with the shortened telomeres. So we know that stress is just a huge factor.
But also when you speak about stress, it would be interesting to address like more mental issues like depressions, anxiety, or even addictions, if there would be some kind of help in the bioregulators here too.
I don't know about reducing stress with a bioregulator. There, you know, there's a brain peptide, but that we use it for things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and so forth. I don't think I cannot say honestly that I would use a peptide bioregulator to reduce stress. Anyway, back to the age. So with Tora Bright, we put her on a program for about 18 months, and her telomeres were equivalent to a 56-year-old at baseline, and she was 31. 18 months later, her telomeres were equivalent to a 32-year-old. Now, did that change her stress? Probably not. She was still competing. But what it did was it regrew the telomeres. You're asking me what age. Until recently, again, we were thinking more to like 40, 45 years old. But an interesting chap with a couple of scientists, they said, well, you know, people really start to decline in their 20s, particularly these days. And said, why aren't you using it for people in their 20s and avoid that decline? And in other words, start early, kind of prophylactically start. And so because of that, we have opened the doors a little bit. But we're at our maximum almost now with 150 people. And so we don't have a web page. We don't do any marketing. It's just word of mouth. And that's what we're going to continue to do, is just kind of quietly.
Biohacking handler om å optimalisere helsen, og dette gjelder I aller høyeste grad hudhelsen.
Nå på høsten trenger huden litt ekstra. Jeg som fortsatt bor I Norge kjenner at huden min blir tørrere, lettere rød og har fått seg noen pigmentflekker I løpet av sommeren.
Ja, jeg kjenner selv I Spania at huden I endring på høsten, og huden har sin helt egen cirkadianske rytme som følger årstidene.
Vi så glade for å ha det svenske, naturlige hudpleieserien Skinome med som samarbeidspartnere på podden igjen. De produserer fersk og forskningsbasert hudpleie, akkurat som en biohacker digger.
Og nå har de kommet med to nye spennende produkter som glimrende for denne årstiden. Fuktkremen Derma Illusion, den roer ned rød, irritert og sensitiv hud, og passer perfekt med det nye serumet Acelic Concentrate, som inneholder 10% acelainsyre, som hjelper med å balansere bakteriene I huden, som kan være årsak til rosacea og hyperpigmentering.
Vi må også fremheve Probiotic Concentrate, som vi har brukt en stund nå. Med sine over 100 millioner levende lactic acid-bakterier gir den huden en deilig og myk overflate og styrker alle de gode hudbakteriene vi har. Dette grunnen til vår gode hudhelse. Denne vi blitt avhengig av.
Ja, og det så herlig at det føles som mat for huden. Gå inn på skinome.com og bruk rabattkoden BIOHACKINGGIRLS20 om du keen på å teste.
When we started this conversation, I thought, oh, he's in his 60s. Would these peptides, bioregulators make you look younger too?
yes and no. They won't change skin very much, although the Russians did create a series of peptide bioregulators that are topical. We just don't put them in the clinical study. I could easily pass for someone in my 60s. I have no doubt about that. The thing that I think is happening, because I see it not with just me, but I see it with others in the study, is it seems to kind of freeze their being. I've not hardly changed at all outwardly in 10 years. I mean, I still have a lot of hair and all the rest of it and so forth. And is that directly because of the peptides, or is it the peptides in my lifestyle, or is it luck? I don't know. But I know for a guy who's 78, I'm pretty healthy.
It looks like
you look like you're really healthy.
Yeah, I feel it.
So much energy.
Dr. Bill Lawrence, this is so interesting. We could speak forever, but we need to just pick your brain about some supplementation too, because it goes hand in hand somehow. Is there something that you use daily to live better and to prolong your life in addition to these peptides?
You know, I take a slew of supplements, the ones that you would know about, NAD and you know, a whole bunch of things, a lot of liposomal vitamin C, niacin, you know, pretty much the ones that everybody knows about. But I rely primarily on the peptides. But I'm also really careful about my diet. I eat only organically. I do fasting, intermittent fasting every day. I stop eating. I have a fasting window from 10 in the morning until about 5 is my eating window. And then I fast for 36 hours every week from Thursday afternoon until Saturday morning. And I think that fasting is a big part of my health program. There's really good peer-reviewed clinical studies, published clinical studies on the benefit of food restriction, caloric restriction. I would, if I had to rank things, I would say peptides are probably, not probably, they are the most potent intervention for aging, and then followed closely by caloric restriction. One other thing about this, sometimes you'll hear the word cellular reprogramming thrown around. Yeah. There is no proof any place out there in the world of science that any intervention that people are using, including what we call Yamanaka factors and so forth, actually can reprogram cells, with the exception of the peptides. And it's not just because I'm involved with the peptides, because I read the literature all day long. And if there was something that would actually, at the cellular level, compared to the peptides, I'd be using it. There just isn't at the moment.
Very good.
This is so perfect. We have really learned so much, but could we just do like a recap of everything so all our listeners are following?
Sure. The peptide bioregulators developed by Professor Cavinson and the other scientists have, at this point, about 50 years of usage. And Cavinson has over 700 published clinical studies and articles, evidence-based, because again, as an attorney and a scientist, everything has to have evidence for me. There is no question whatsoever that the peptide bioregulators are a safe intervention to slow the aging process down, to extend people's telomeres, to change their epigenetic age, as well as addressing organ rejuvenation, regeneration. I mean, the proof is 50 years worth of studies, 7-8 years of these clinical studies and so forth. And there's nothing else out there that can match that. Now, in my presentations, I talk about the bridge, which is an important concept. The peptides are not the end all. I'm hoping that there will be other things that come along, and they're being worked on right now. There's some 700 nonprofit entities out there doing aging research, and they're funding to the extent of 10 to 15 billion, not million, but billion dollars a year. And they're working on all sorts of things, and some of those things will, in time, become useful. And so what I tell everybody, and I speak about it in the YouTubes and so forth, is what we have to do is stay as healthy as we can possibly stay today, such that we can take advantage, I call it crossing the bridge, that we can cross that bridge, that 10-year bridge, in order to take advantage of the things that will be there in 10 years, because I have no doubt that heart disease will disappear, cancer is going to be treatable, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and dementia and so forth will be treatable. We just need to stay healthy to get to that point.
Wonderful. So thank you very much. So how do you spend your evenings after 5 o'clock when you don't eat?
Working.
Working, dancing?
Well, during the week, my schedule is I start working at 9 in the morning and I go to bed at midnight. In there is a couple hours of Pilates, and I know that I've seen some of your biohacking. Yeah, Pilates is very important. Yeah. Yoga is in there, weightlifting in there at the gym and so forth. I don't own a car, so I walk every place here in the Atlanta area that I can. So that's my daily routine. Again, 10 in the morning until about 5 will be some food. And then on Friday, I take the weekend off, basically. My partner, Vess, and I, we dance a lot. She's a Yeah, she's a competitive dancer internationally and dances in lots of competitions and so forth. And I get away from my work on the weekend. But when I say work, what I do is not work. I have to make myself go to bed at midnight. Otherwise, I would stay up and research. And it's not work for me. It's a passion, and I get obsessive about it, I think, at times. And Vess has to, my partner has to kind of rein me in a little bit. So that's sort of my life. I want to be 125, 130 and be about as functional as I am today. And I think that's possible.
I think so too. And I'm glad you're dancing with her, because I do a flamenco dance here in Spain, and I just love it. It really gives me such a high. I get so happy. But I wonder about one more thing. In the morning, you eat at 10. Do you have anything to drink, or coffee, tea, something before 10 o'clock?
I drink some. They're not smoothies, because they're mostly filled with vitamin complex powders and things of that nature. Maybe a little vegetable in them. I'll mix up something in the morning and then have some food. I have this fat man inside of me who's always trying to escape, and so I have him locked up.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Dr. Bill Lawrence, for en herlig fyr, han har jo da delt med oss hvordan han har klart å redusere sin biologiske telomerlengdealder da, fra 77 år til 23 år. Og det er spennende når han jobber med sånne type biomarkører for å se på sin biologiske alder. Altså det er 20-30 års, 40 års forskning fra hans side som kan vise til den kunnskapen han deler med oss her på podcasten.
Ja, dette var veldig, veldig spennende og gøy å snakke om. Han jo veldig opptatt av dette med longevity, leve lenge. Og altså Monica, han hadde helt sort hår og et hode fullt av hår, og han 78 år. Han så jo bare veldig vital, og jeg likte han skikkelig godt. Og dette med at han så opptatt av forskning og ikke sier noe som ikke 100% han kan stå bak, han virket så altså, flink til å forklare hva han også. Det ryddet opp mye for meg som jeg lurte på med peptider i hvert fall.
Ja, også var det veldig fint å få avklart og forstå forskjellen på vanlige peptider som vi ser. Folk bruker ordet peptider i hudkremer, i supplementer. De bruker det selvfølgelig for vektreduksjon, at du kan ta en del sånne du kan ta sprøyter inn under huden, du kan ta det oralt og forskjellige måter å kunne regulere vekten på. Vi har jo hatt flere episoder med Dean Henry om peptider også, men det var først når jeg skjønte den store forskjellen på bioregulatorer, hvordan han bruker disse, som da ikke engang trenger en FDA-godkjenning fordi at de anses å være mat, akkurat som spermidin og omega-3. Og han baserer det jo også på disse bioregulatorene har jo vært i bruk i over 50 år, og det finnes 700 publiserte kliniske studier, så det har liksom tyngde som man kan føle seg trygge når vi ser på det han leverer av informasjon i forhold til å senke alderen og forbedre alle organfunksjonene.
Ja, det var akkurat det jeg skulle til å si, det med organene, hvert eneste organ i kroppen må på en måte fornyes, og så likte jeg også godt at det ikke noe du må gå på hele tiden. Dette et tilskudd på en måte som du tar, og så vil du holde deg der i den alderen, og så kanskje man vil jobbe med noe nytt, og så kanskje skje et nytt helseproblem man vil jobbe med, og kroppen blir ikke vant til det. Dette ikke noe du blir avhengig av i forhold til type medisiner. Han var veldig opptatt av at dette et matprodukt.
Nettopp, og det fint at du sier dette med at det var alle organene som jobber parallelt for forbedring, for å sikre deg da at du reduserer alderen og forlenger telomerene. Og det tok opp til 3 år kanskje å endre for å gjøre den reduksjonen i alderen. Og så tar du type 2-3 kapsler per dag hver måned, men du endrer de forskjellige bioregulatorene etter 10 dager, 7-10 dager, så tar du et nytt kanskje for hjernen, og så tar du noe for arteriene, og så tar du noe for immuniteten din. Og så etter 5 år, så skal du liksom vente og bare leve sånn med den foryngede alderen din, før du kanskje går på ny protokoll senere igjen da.
Han har jo da holdt på med disse studiene sine nå i 7-8 år, og det som var gøy å høre var at alle opplever forbedrelser, og det ingen som vil slutte, ingen som vil ut av den studien. Han hadde vel en eneste person som ville ut av studien, så dette jo virkelig fremtiden å jobbe med dette.
Og så det ingen bivirkninger heller, det jo som mat. Sånn at han sa at det eneste han ikke kunne, for vi spurte jo om han kunne se det på huden og på utseende også, siden han ser så ung ut. Han mente vel kanskje at han kunne se litt det, da, for at han holdt seg akkurat lik som han var for 20 år siden, men huden hadde han ikke sett så stor forskjell på akkurat hudkvaliteten da. Og dette med epigenetisk testing, det ble jo veldig populært etter covid, og vi har jo hatt Hanne Finsa på podcasten vår også, hvor vi har snakket om hennes protokoll. Hun inkluderte ikke peptider eller bioregulatorer, men det er i alle fall noe som er basert på gener i celler som er assosiert med rask eller sakte aldring da, som man kan se på. Og for å finne ut av dette, hvis du skal bli med på en sånn reise, så kan du enten bare kjøpe disse peptidene på det britiske nettstedet. De er produsert i Russland, men de sendes fra England. Men før det så skulle du gjøre da en sånn testing som gikk på DNA-metylering og på telomerenes lengde. Og så var det True Diagnostics som hadde en test, så det er noen testpakker man kan gjøre da. Eller så kan man bare begynne på det, for det er jo mat, ikke sant?
Ja, det var veldig sånn klart å skjønne det der. Dette er ikke farlig, det er ikke noe du blir avhengig av. Dette er, altså, det virket som det var nesten tryggere enn å ta et supplement til og med. Og så synes jeg det var veldig gøy, og når vi alltid spør hvordan de lever, og hvordan de har i løpet av dagen, og hva han gjorde da i tillegg, for det er jo alltid livsstil i forhold til det, men han var helt klokkeklar på at det var peptidene som var hans number one, og så kom disse andre ting, livsstilstingene hans i tillegg.
Ja, så han hadde en sånn faste på 36 timer i uken, eller så spiser han mellom 10 og 5, høres veldig perfekt ut, og så danset han masse med kjæresten sin da, så det var bra. Men vi må nesten bare ta inn over oss hvor stort det er at vi har fått tak i kontaktinfo til Dr. Bill Lawrence, og at han stilte på podcasten vår, for han er altså... Han er en guru, altså han er enorm i verden. Så jeg ble litt sånn starstruck jeg nå, og jeg tror kanskje han er en av de gjestene som vi har lengtet etter å ha på podcasten, som vi ikke har tenkt over, var mulig å få til. Men i alle fall, han får ikke til Biohacking Weekend med det første, men vi vet jo aldri om det kanskje, men en av hans studenter og samarbeidspartnere, Jessica Alana, hun kommer jo hjemme til Norge 5. og 6. april og skal snakke om dette temaet med hensyn til antialdring og sånn, så det blir jo veldig spennende.
Det blir kjempespennende, så da har dere muligheten til å lære masse mer om disse bioregulatorene for tidene våre.
Herlig, håper du ble inspirert til å kanskje se litt inn i peptidenes verden også, og i alle fall nå har du lært litt om forskjellene. Tusen takk for å følge alle sammen.
Happy biohacking!
Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon med dele kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.
Julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt i tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss i Spar.